Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. Most of us have never been in a situation in which our lives were threatened and our safety was completely in the hands of others. On March 26, 2014, a workman in Houston, Texas, was on the top floor of an apartment building under construction when a fire broke out. The fire quickly spread, trapping him on a balcony with no way to safely descend to the ground floor. As the flames came within a few feet of him, he swung down to the balcony on the next lower floor, just barely landing safely upon it. A fire department ladder truck moved into position and was able to get just close enough for him to reach the ladder and climb aboard it. Moments later, as the ladder was being pulled away from the building, the top floor of the structure collapsed in flames. The firemen and the workmen on the ladder were nearly struck by the flaming debris, but were safely pulled away from danger. An action such as this is called a rescue, and in this case it was a very dramatic rescue. The workman would surely have perished in the flames if the fire department had not reached him as quickly as they did. His life was in mortal danger, and there is no question that he was aware of it, as were the firefighters who were trying to save him. We can imagine the relief this man felt when he was safely out of harm's way. And we can also imagine the debt he felt to the firefighters who rescued him from that burning building. Rescues such as this are not terribly common, but they happen often enough that we have a healthy appreciation for them. Our lives are precious to us, especially when they are in danger. Every day of life has the potential to put us in a life-threatening situation, and when that happens, we hope and pray that someone will be there to rescue us. Most people recognize when their lives are in danger, and when this happens, they do not care who their rescuer is. They do not care what the rescuer requires of them in order to be rescued. All they care about is being rescued. They are willing to do whatever it takes to save their lives. Being physically rescued from certain death is a great blessing that we all recognize and appreciate. There is an even greater blessing, however, that is not appreciated or recognized by some in the world today. That blessing is the rescue that our Father in heaven accomplished by sending his one and only Son to the cross to be the sacrifice for our sins. For a few moments today, we will consider the fact that we have the opportunity to be rescued from the consequences of our sins. We begin our study with a simple statement of fact made by Paul in his letter to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul said, "For he," meaning God, "rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, Paul made this statement at the beginning of his letter to the Colossians as he was explaining to them why he constantly prayed for them in their walk as Christians. This was a church that Paul had not established, but he knew of their faith through Epaphras, who was the first to preach the gospel there. Like many young churches in that time, Paul was concerned that they remained faithful to the calling of Christ. In this letter to them, much as he did in his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul lifted up the exalted Christ, by whose sacrifice the world has the opportunity for salvation from sin. They had obeyed the gospel and had given their lives to the Lord in doing so. They must therefore continue in that commitment because they served the risen, exalted, and reigning Christ. In verses 13 and 14 that we've just read, Paul noted two reasons why they must remain faithful to the Lord. The first of these is because they had been rescued from the domain of darkness. The second is that they had been transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. These are two powerful points in favor of staying faithful to the Lord, and let's consider each of them in turn. To rescue means to free or deliver someone from confinement, violence, danger, or evil. It also means to remove one from exposure to violence or danger or evil. It carries with it the idea of a change of situation or locale that results in the removal from such danger or evil. When we think of a rescue, we think of being taken out of harm's way and put into a place of safety. This is certainly true in the physical sense of rescue, but it is also true in the spiritual sense in which Paul was speaking to the Christians in Colossae. You see, they had been rescued from what Paul calls the domain of darkness. Now, it doesn't take much effort to understand what he meant by this phrase. All through the New Testament, darkness is a term that describes the realm of the devil and those who practice sin. When we sin, we are taken captive in the domain of darkness because our sins have separated us from God. This is what the prophet said in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Like prisoners in a maximum security prison, we are powerless to escape from that domain. We have no means within ourselves to pay the ransom which is required in order to be released from darkness. God, however, in his love and mercy, provided the means for our rescue through the sacrifice of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the earth, he testified that this was his purpose for coming. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, he said, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." As Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, he reminded them that God worked his eternal purpose through the sacrifice of his Son. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, Paul said this, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him," meaning Christ, "and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." Now this is how Christians have been rescued by Christ. It is by the reconciliation that the shedding of his blood accomplished. By shedding his blood, Christ paid the ransom for our sins, and thus made peace between sinful mankind and our holy God. His blood makes us holy and blameless before God, if we continue to live faithfully in accordance with his will. This is the hope of the gospel, and this is the result of obedience to the gospel for all those who are willing to obey it. When Christ died on the cross, he effected the means for our rescue from sin. And when we obey the gospel, that rescue is completed. We can think of our rescue by the Lord like the man who was rescued from the burning building in Houston, Texas. Standing where he was, he had no way to save himself from the fire. The fire department provided the means for his rescue by placing the ladder within his reach. Once the ladder was in reach, however, it was up to him to crawl onto it to get away from the burning building. He could not be rescued, and the ladder was useless to him until he took hold of it and got on board it. The same is true with our spiritual rescue. The Lord's death on the cross put the means of our rescue within our reach. When we obey the gospel, we make use of that means, and we are thereby rescued from sin. Because we have been rescued by Christ, we then owe him our allegiance, not in some vain attempt to repay him for his sacrifice, but out of our deep gratitude for the immeasurable gift that he gave us by dying for our sins. This was the message Paul gave to the church in Colossae, and it is the message that continues to come to us today. Christ has rescued us from the consequences of our sin by his death on the cross. When we take advantage of that rescue by obeying the gospel, our sense of gratitude for our rescue should move us to remain faithful to him all the rest of our lives. When God, through Jesus Christ, rescued us from the consequences of our sins, he also did something else of great importance to us. Paul said he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, this is just as important as the fact of our rescue from the domain of darkness. In fact, it cannot be separated from our rescue from the domain of darkness. We were not simply removed from the dangers of the domain of darkness when we obeyed the gospel, but were actually put into a place of safety from that domain. That place of safety is the kingdom of Christ, which is his church. The Lord himself promised that he would build his kingdom. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus told the disciples, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus told some of his disciples that some of them would not die until they had seen the kingdom of God after it had come with power. Just before his ascension back into heaven, Jesus met with the 11 surviving apostles and promised them that the power that would mark the beginning of the kingdom would soon come upon them. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, he told them that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from that time. In verse 8, he told them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that with that power they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Luke records the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit on the apostles on the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection. With that power, the apostles preached the gospel to the crowds of Jews assembled in the city for the festival. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that 3,000 of them obeyed Peter's command to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. The complete record of this is Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. On that very day, the kingdom of Christ was established on the earth, as those who were baptized into Christ were added by the Lord to the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Christians in Colossae had obeyed the gospel, just like the 3,000 did on Pentecost. As a result, they too had been added to the body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, which is the church of Christ. They now belonged to a new master, the master who had rescued them from the domain of darkness through the forgiveness of their sins. They had every reason to remain faithful to him, because he had purchased them with his blood. Paul spoke of this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. When someone risks his life to save another, all of us hold that person in high regard. The one whom he saved, however, holds him in especially high regard. Having one's life saved by another is something that we never forget. Sometimes when someone risks his life to save another, he loses his life in the attempt. This often happens in time of war. One man will sacrifice his life to save the lives of his comrades. In cases like this, the ones who were saved feel even more deeply indebted for their rescue. Now, if we feel this way about a human sacrifice, how much more so ought we to feel it for the Son of God, who sacrificed his life for us while we were yet sinners, in order to rescue us from the domain of darkness. You see, Jesus didn't give his life for us because of how wonderful we are. He didn't do it because we had done something to deserve it. He did it because he loves us, and because there was no other way for us to be rescued. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul said, "But God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died on the cross to rescue us from the domain of darkness. He asks us to take advantage of his sacrifice by obeying the gospel, so our rescue will be complete. Now, if your life was in danger, your physical life, wouldn't you do whatever your rescuer required of you in order to save your life? Well, of course you would. Yet, when our Lord, our spiritual rescuer, asks us to believe and be baptized in order to be saved, many refuse to do so. It just doesn't make sense, does it? Our only hope for eternal life is obedience to our rescuer, Jesus Christ, who said, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Since the Lord was willing to die for you, won't you be willing to live for him in obedience to his will? He died to rescue us from sin. Won't you obey the gospel today so that you too will be rescued? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.